All right. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I know everybody's going to kind of trickle in because it's the after lunch session. That's fine. I appreciate you guys coming on the last day. This is great. Did everybody go see Age of Ultron last night? Yeah? This is good, right? James Spader just makes everything cool. I can pretty much watch anything he's in. So thanks for coming on the last day of Build. Really appreciate your time. My name is Thomas Fennell. I'm a program manager in Windows in the notifications team, and I have Andrew Barrs with me. Andrew's going to be doing demos for us today. So let's just jump right in. We've got quite a bit of content. Before we get started, evaluations. We are definitely highly competitive in my team, and there's a developer who did a presentation from our team this year. I'm a PM. He's a developer. There's a natural rivalry, so I really need to beat him. I need a better score than John Sheehan got, so please evaluate if you like the session afterwards, and if you didn't like it, just don't do it. Just a quick intro about where you're at right now. So if you've gone to some of the app model sessions, the application model sessions throughout this throughout the conference so far, you've seen some of this stuff. I mean, Robert just finished his session on kind of how apps work. You're in our session now about shell, really about how you integrate your application with a lot of shell features. And we're going to talk about toasts, tiles, notifications in general. So that's just a quick lay of the land of all the other things you should go look at if you haven't seen them yet about the app model and integrating with it in Windows 10. So I'm really excited about this year because this year is actually very different for me. This is my fourth year at Build, and every year when I'm up here on stage, I have to constantly think to myself, don't talk about that new stuff that you're doing. Remember to talk about that stuff you did 6 months ago and keep the new stuff out of your presentation. And this is the first year we're not doing that. I'm talking to you about what we're working on right now. As a matter of fact, it's so bleeding edge that Andrew may have a few glitches in his demo because it's from a custom build that we have just so we can show you the latest and greatest stuff. So just bear with us if it's not exactly perfect. But for the most part, we think it's all going to work out for you. And that's great because I've never had a chance to tell you about the now and the future at this conference, and that makes me really, really happy. So what we heard from last year, I just want to recap what developers told us after we finished Build last year and what they said they wanted in the coming year. Last year, one of the big pieces of feedback I got was that there's not programmers anymore, okay? People are now hipster programmers, and so I wanted to take that piece of feedback and immediately update that part of the slide. This PowerPoint icon came with the unicycle. Like, I didn't have to go find the unicycle. It was included as part of this guy, so. But no, seriously, what we heard was, we like what you're doing with convergence, but we want to see more unity, more convergence about Windows apps. And so we're going to talk about that today. You've heard a lot about the Universal Windows Platform and Universal Windows Apps today. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about how our stuff fits into that. You said, wow, could you maybe, you know, converge your UIs too while you're at it? Aren't you guys the same company? You have a phone. You have things that are happening on desktop. They don't really look like they're in the same family. So we're going to talk about some UI convergence as well in the notification space. You said, well, thanks for giving us a notification center, an action center as we call it, in phone. Why is it in desktop? When's that going to happen? And so you've seen in some of the flights, some of the preview releases that we've had, there is an action center, and it's continuing to evolve, and it's continuing to get closer and closer between the phone and the desktop flight. So I'll show you some more about where that's going and how it's evolving. And you said, please don't say more templates. If the notification space is new to you, you might not realize this, but for those of you that have been doing Windows Tile and Windows Toast notifications for a while, you might know about the template catalog. We had 80-something templates in the template catalog, and very many people told me last year that flexibility is not more and more and more templates. Please don't come back next year and tell me that you gave me more templates. So we'll talk about that too. And then finally, more powerful notifications. Can I do more with these? Can I make them more interactive so that my customer can do stuff faster? And so we're going to get into that as well today. So we're done today. Hopefully, we'll have addressed all these pain points the developers gave us from last year. So first, the theme of the conference, right? Universal Windows apps. What does it mean? In our case, what it actually means is that we were mostly done with the binary convergence of the platform last year. So we actually had pretty much everything unified just from a binary level when we talked at Build last year. But all of the APIs are now fully converged as well. So basically, if you look at the API surface for notifications at the end of Windows Phone 8.1, that's what's available now to any Universal Windows app. It's a fully converged surface. It's all there. That means things like managing your Toast and Action Center, all of that exists for you to use. On top of that, it's going to work everywhere on the Windows device family. So PCs, mobile, Xbox, IoT, HoloLens, it's all, again, part of the Universal Windows platform. And that's great because you just write one set of code for all these powerful things you can do with notifications now. So let's move on to talk a little bit about how the UI is changing and evolving and what the principles for when we did that look like. Very quickly, start and tiles are about a couple of really, really key things. Tiles need to be glanceable. You're consuming information from tiles. There's something that lets you quickly learn about what's going on inside of your application. It's your really kind of most obvious way to connect with your customer because they're always on start, and so they need some way to quickly consume that information before they've even launched the app. So it's all about glanceability. It's also about, of course, actually launching the app. It wouldn't be any good if they couldn't get into it. So just like every other platform out there, you have to have some way to launch into the apps. That's another really key principle about Start and Tiles, or for how you actually take actions to get inside the app. The doorway into your app, it's the way the user gets in. So let's see what it actually looks like in practice in that case. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Start, the layout of tiles, and I'm going to do some things about talking about density. Because when you think about the family of devices that we have now, from all the way down from mobile, really small devices, to PCs, to huge devices like Surface Hub, there's a lot of screen densities available now. And so we talk about our tiles in kind of this grid. It's not a real pixel grid, obviously. It's kind of a relative pixel grid for us. But tile sizes break down into a pixel grid for us and starts with the smallest tile. If you look at number one up on the screen, that's a small tile. For us, that's a 1x1 tile. We have the medium tile, 2x2. We have the wide tile, which is 4x2. And then we also still have the large tile. And the large tile is still desktop only. That's not going to be in mobile for now. And it's a 4x4. And so essentially, this is the basis for everything that we do going forward and for how we think about screen density and being able to adapt to those things on all the different devices that we have. So for example, tiles are not always going to be the same size because of that. This is an example of a high-density screen. You could think of this as something like a Lumia 1520, something that has a really nice display on it. You can fit a lot of tiles on the screen. But we also have devices out there that are more like a Lumia 635. And this may be the tile density that they're able to display. And you can see that, I'll go back and forth, they're definitely a different density. So there's different amounts of information that you can fit on these tiles. They adapt to the screen they're on. The tiles now are actually scaling depending on the density of the screen. We've done some other stuff like reducing margins to make all of this work a little better. But this doesn't just apply to mobile. I know I used phones as examples, but it applies to desktops. It applies to anything with a screen density that can change. And so a lot of what we did this time around was to make sure we could adapt to those densities and just give you the best looking tile no matter what device it's actually running on. So, with that, let's talk about the tiles and the templates that you can use as a developer yourself. Like I said, there is a legacy template catalog out there today. There's 80 plus templates out there. We did get the feedback that the templates are okay, but we don't really just want more templates. So that's where we addressed most of our work, was not just enhancing additional templates. But I just wanted to let you know that all the legacy templates are just going to continue to work. There's nothing that's stopping those templates from working. They actually look even better. They've been given some visual UI refreshes as well whenever they are shown on Windows 10. So you can keep using all that stuff if you're already using it today. You don't actually have to change. However, we are doing something new called adaptive tile templates. So this is a template that does not need, this is instead of having multiple templates, this is really just a set of four templates for small, medium, wide, and large tiles that are incredibly flexible. You can do really great stuff inside these templates to lay out your content, your images, so that it looks really great and create a lot of scenarios without having to just use a background image or without using a static template. So you get a lot more flexibility. And we're going to talk now about what that all looks like and how you do it. So, introducing adaptive tile templates. Hopefully the feedback this year after Build won't be, give me more templates, because there's only really four that you need. The real principle here is that the content will adapt with the tile. Now, I know this looks like a small, medium, and large tile, but it's not. This is the same tile, and it's changing depending on the density that the screen it's running on can display. So, on the far left, that is a very low-density screen. And you can see it's not actually able to display that much content. It's displaying some content, but not as much as when you move to like something like a medium-density screen in the middle, or even a large-density screen on the right. Remember, that's still all a medium tile, but on a high-density screen, because you can put so much more information inside there, we can actually display more information, and we wanted to take advantage of that. So, let me show you how you would actually achieve that. We still use XML for our templates, so we still have a basic XML layout that you use, and there's a couple of key things to point out here to make this actual situation work. So, if you look at the groups and the subgroups that I've got here, groups are about semantically binding information together. So, for example, in this email case, John Doe's email and then the first couple lines from John Doe's email make sense to be displayed together as a group. You want your user to see all of that content together because it just gives a better experience. And then Jane Doe's email is the same kind of thing. You'd really want to have all of her email content shown together. You'll notice that on the small and the medium tile, Jane Doe's email isn't shown at all. And that's because it's in a different group. You've said to us as a developer, semantically, this information needs to sit together. So only display it if you can display everything inside this group. And so that's why as we move up through the densities, we get to a point where that medium tile has enough density to show all the information, we include the additional group. So that's where the adaptiveness of the tile really takes advantage of what you want to send as a developer to give the best possible experience on all devices. And I wanted to give kind of another example of this as well. This is a pretty simple example about reflowing text. On the medium-sized tile, you can't actually see quite all of the text in the string. On the small tile, on the medium size of the medium tile, you can, and on the most dense part of the medium tile, you can see the entire string. And the way I've done that is actually pretty simply. If you look in the XML for text hint wrap equals true, I've just said wrap this text whenever you can. And on all of the tiles all the medium tiles, it's tried to wrap the text. It's just that on the lowest density screen, there wasn't a way to fit quite all of it. But on the highest density screen on the medium tile, I was able to fit all of it, so we displayed all of it on the tile. When we get to the demos a little bit later, Andrew's going to show you some really cool stuff with this. He's going to show you some much more advanced examples, but I just wanted to tee up some of the conversations that he's going to be having in a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about the state of tiles, too. So there's three basic states of adaptive tiles, and really this first state is just your tile as it exists whenever your app is first installed. So there's a small tile, there's a medium tile, there's a wide tile, and a large tile in this example. They're all just using assets that came directly from your package. So this is just without any tile updates yet, what your tile would look like with the user pinned it to start and resized it. This is the simplest state that your tile can be in. This is before you've really done anything to it from a notification perspective. We have a semi-live state. This is really when you're trying to communicate a small amount of information to the user. Makes sense for something like a count. You want to update the count on the tile, the badge, to have some information for your user. And it's, you know, just a very quick way for the user to glance and see that something's changed inside your application. The next state, of course, is the one that most people use, and that's the live state of the tile. And again, I've got the template names up there for you to see, tile small, tile medium, tile wide, and tile large. That's all you need from now on if you want to use the adaptive tile templates. That's all we've got. We don't have any more templates other than those four. And I know I've been showing a lot of text examples, but it's going to get a lot more interesting in a minute. So the live state is a state where you have more content showing. It's not just a badge. Now you're doing some text on the tile. You may be doing some images. And to kind of show you what that looks like in another view, I just have a slide that kind of breaks it down into the layers that exist. So again, in the basic state of the tile, this is before you've done anything to it, you have the following layers. You have the plate, which is really just a fancy word for the background color. You have an app logo. So this is out of your manifest, the square 150 by 150 logo that you have. And then you have the short name. This is really just the name that you've given your app in the manifest. Again, this is when you've done nothing to your tile. These are the layers that exist and how the system builds them up to show your tile. In the semi-live state, really only one layer is added, and that's the badge that gets added over the top. So you see it in the bottom right corner. You see it as the top layer in that stacking of layers. And again, nothing else about the tile has really changed. It's your square 150 by 150 logo in the middle. The badge is now in the bottom right. It's still using your short name from the app, because all you've really done is update the badge count in this example. And finally, in the live state is where a whole new layer is introduced that gets really interesting. So if you look now, the second layer from the bottom is now your content layer. This is where you can do things like images, you can do text, you can do great new stuff that we're going to show you on the next slide. This is really where you insert the stuff that you want to delight your user with information and really bring your tile to life. It's at this content layer. So let's move on to talk about the content layer. Content notifications can display an image, like I said, text, a combination of those things. Sometimes they're inline, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're full background. And I wanted to give you some examples of real tiles that are being built for our internal applications at Microsoft, apps that are actually being built and shipping in the store as part of Windows 10, and what they did and how their tiles are going to look using this actual adaptive markup. So we'll start with the one that we've been showing so far. It's the mail tile. It's basically just text on a tile because that makes the most sense for mail. You want to see what's going on. Now, in reality, if you had something like an inline attach or an attachment in an email, they could be showing that on the tile as well if they want as an inline image. But for this simple example, they're just showing who the mail is from and then the first line of the mail, for example. This next one is actually from the calendar app. So this is text just basically on the tile. Pretty simple again, but it's on a wide tile. In this case, it's just got more information on it. Because it's a wide tile, it stretches a little wider. Here's something a little more complex. So this is what a weather tile could do. So this one's an inline image and some text grouping. You're able to achieve all of this with the adaptive markup, and Andrew's actually going to take you through this one in just a little bit. You've got some pretty simple examples. The music app could just use a background image. In this case, it's using album art as its background image. And it could just put the name of the album and the name of the artist on the front if it wants. So a background image, which sometimes you'll hear us call a full bleed image all the way across the back, and then just overlay some text on the front. And you're even able to control the overlay as well. So if you wanted to have the image kind of be darkened a little bit to make text display a little better, you can do that as well. And then finally, the last example, something like the Xbox tile. This is what something very similar to what the Games app is actually going to ship. And this is an inline image in text and kind of in some columns. And again, all done with the adaptive layouts. I've got an image. I've got some bigger text at the top, a couple of lines of subtle text underneath it, created with the adaptive markup. And so now I want to actually flip over to Andrew so that he can do the demo and show you how all of this works in the real world, real code, on what is hopefully a stable build at the moment.
Yep. So as Thomas talked about, these adaptive tiles let you create really powerful tiles really easily. So what we're using here that you can see, it's called our template visualizer. We're going to ship a tool like this for you guys so that you can play around with the tile templates really quickly. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through how you would actually start designing your live tile. So over on the right, we have our default app state, as you can see there. And we're going to start by sending a tile payload here. And basically, it's all XML, as you saw with Thomas's examples. And you have a tile and visual element. And then you have your bindings for each size. We're just going to start by working on the medium tile. So as you can see over on the right there, the medium tile is blank right now because we have no content in it. So we can add some text, "Hello, San Francisco." And you'll see that appear over on the medium tile. And we can add another line of text. It's basically a stack panel, "Welcome to Build 2015. And we got two lines of text going there. So that works really well, but we need to make it look a little better. So we can add some styles. Hint style body, that'll make the text a little bit bigger. As you notice, "Hello, San Francisco" got bigger. And the second line, we want that to wrap. So we can say hint wrap true. And now we have wrapping text, and we can also add a style to that of caption subtle to gray it out a little bit.
And Andrew, what if I wanted the title to go away on the medium tile? Could I do that? Because it's kind of running into the icon.
Yep, so you got full control of your app's branding. You can choose logo only. You can have the name and logo, or just the name. And on that medium tile, we don't have much space, so we'll just display the app's logo. And now we want to design our wide and large tiles. We can use basically the same code here. So I'm just going to copy paste and then add a tile wide template there. And as you can see, it works pretty well. The text expands to the available size. And we can include the app's name there because we have a lot more space on the tile. And then we'll do the same thing for our large tile. And there we go. We designed our tile. Looks good. So we're done with the design side. Now we can actually throw this into our app. And you can get content on your tiles a variety of ways. We just built a little simple app where we can paste in the XML, and it'll turn it into a tile. So right now we have three tiles pinned here. And I pasted in our code that we just wrote. And we'll update those tiles. And you'll see those new content appear on the actual start screen. So really easy to create beautiful looking live tiles.
And one thing I wanted to point out there was that those three tiles that are on start now, those got pinned at the same time. If you've been a Windows or a Windows Phone developer for a little while, you might have pinned a tile and then had to go back in your app and pin another tile. You couldn't pin multiple tiles at once. Now you can pin multiple tiles at once to the start screen if you want to, because we heard a lot of feedback that it was a pain for people to navigate in and out of the app. On phone, some people even thought the app was crashing when you were navigated out of it to the start screen. So now you can pin multiple tiles because it's about time we were able to do that.
Yep. And in Thomas's demo, he talked about the mail tile. So here's how you'd actually create that mail tile. And if we look at the wide tile here, you can see the content for wide. It has those two groups. and groups semantically mean that the content has to fit completely for it to actually make sense. So since Steve Bosniak's email on the wide tile can't fit, it doesn't appear. But on the large tile, which is the exact same content, just on the large, it fits, so we display it. And then the weather tile, which was the coolest, that has a lot of fancy stuff going on. If we look here, we're on the tile wide. You can place an image in the background just by saying placement background. And then you can do those subgroups, which are columns. And that's how we achieve over on the wide tile those four columns. And we can actually delete one of these subgroups here, and you'll see it'll go down to three columns. So you have a lot of power and control. You can set weights on the columns, do a lot of fancy stuff. And also those images, you can set them to be placement inline, and that's how you achieve those placements there. And so going on the theme of hipsters, we wanted to create a hipster app called Hipstamy that'll tell you where the newest hipster showed up. So we designed this live tile, and this guy's been spotted down on Groove Street. Shows a little map on the large tile since we got a lot of space there. And we have this tile designed here, and we can do the same thing, copy it over into our Windows 10 app here and update our live tile, and you'll see that content appear on our start screen here. And there it goes. And then the other way, there's a lot of ways to get content to your live tiles. We were just doing local updates there, but there's also periodic polling, which we would probably use in that hipster app. And basically with periodic polling, you have a website here, and we would have a web server that generates that tile XML content, and then all the tile does is it periodically pulls that URL to pull down the new content and update your live tile. And so if we look at the code behind for that, all we do to create a polling tile is we create the tile and we pin it, and as Thomas said, it doesn't throw you back out to start, so you can instantly do code after that. And right here is that code where you actually set the periodic tile to pull down from your URI, which is over here. And we can go over to our UWP and pin that tile. So here we go. We'll click pin, and that'll be added to our start screen. And hopefully, if the internet plays with us, yep. And it pulled down that tile, and we got our live tile. So back to you, Thomas.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. So hopefully you see that there's a lot of flexibility in what we did with the adaptive templates. We really took the feedback to heart that you wanted to be able to lay things out in a simple and effective way. And so that's why we've done this technology. It's pretty straightforward, but there's also some powerful stuff we've seen people doing internally. And we hope to see what you guys do with it. We think it's going to be a fantastic addition to your apps. I wanted to talk a little bit about the APIs we didn't talk about, because there are a lot of APIs in the notifications namespace, and we're not going to be able to cover them all today. But really, they're all the same as what they were before. That is to say, at the end of Windows Phone 8.1, if you go look what was in these namespaces, they're the same ones still available to you in your UWP. In windows.ui.notifications, which is where you really do things with your tile and toasts, that's Badge Update Manager, Schedule Tile Notification, Tile Update Manager. And in windows.ui.startScreen is where you do secondary tiles. All of that stuff is still there. It still exists. It's just going to work exactly like it used to work. So if you're already using that code, or even if you have to become new to this code, that's fine. Whatever's on MSDN today is exactly what's going to be supported in your UW app. So I also wanted to touch a little bit on how we send tile updates, because Andrew and I showed you local and polling, but there's multiple ways that you can send tile updates to your app. So local is basically your immediate update scenario. You can do it from the foreground. You can do it from the background. Local tile updates never expire. Tiles have a concept of expiration, especially when they're done from something like a push server. But when you do a local tile update, they don't ever expire, because we assume that you're going to come back and clean up your content at some point through a background task or something, and you have control over that if you want new content to show. You also have scheduled tile updates. So scheduled is really exactly what it sounds like. At a specific date and time, I want this tile to change. And those expire after 3 days because they appear to be time sensitive in the first place. So you can do a schedule, pick a specific time. Tileupdater.addToSchedule is how you get to this guy. What Andrew showed, so periodic is really about having the tile update on a kind of a regular occurrence. You have a URI, you have some time period that you want it to update on over and over again because the XML in the cloud is regenerated on a frequent basis, and this is where your new content comes from. So start periodic update is how you get to that guy. And then finally, something we're not actually talking about very much today is push. Push notifications let you do tile updates as well. And everything that we're showing you today, all of the XML, all of these features, they all work through push notifications as well. So if you can do it with the XML, you can send it through the push server, it'll just work. It's a really great way to do real-time information. Push notifications expire after 3 days, again, because they're kind of time-sensitive. It's one of the most popular ways to send a notification, so you can directly send a tile notification. There's also raw notifications. So we're going to talk a lot about tiles and Toast today, but a raw push notification is a really powerful thing available on the platform that lets you send basically down a shoulder tap to wake up your background task, and then you can do whatever you want. We actually see a lot of apps moving to a model where instead of sending a tile or Toast notification specifically through the push server, they send a raw, wake up their background task, and then do something from that background task to update their tile or to pop a Toast. And it seems to be a pretty powerful model because you have a lot of local client state that you can use in those scenarios to give the most relevant notification to the user. And I want to talk a little bit about beyond adaptive tiles as well, because like I said, we're talking to you about stuff that's not just from right now, it's from coming soon as well. And so this is I call this my breaking into jail slide, because I feel like I'm going to get these questions at the end of the talk anyway, so I wanted to just kind of get this stuff out there. One great new thing that's coming that's going to be really helpful is something called XAML rendering background task. Now, this existed in Windows Phone 8.1, but it's never existed in desktop. It now exists for anything that's a universal Windows app. Essentially, it's a way for you to create content. You can take and create some XAML controls and stuff in a visual that you like, and then render it to an actual image that you then put that whole image on your tile. So whenever adaptive doesn't quite meet your needs, you need to do something a little more advanced or something we haven't enabled for you, you can do XAML rendering background tasks and just render an image and make your tile look awesome that way. It's available now to all universal Windows apps. I know I'm going to get this question, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. You're showing us this XML. It seems relatively powerful. Why didn't you just give us XAML? Why is there not just XAML on the tiles? And that's a great question. And it's something that we want to do. We think that there's two categories of developers, and we've seen this in other ecosystems as well. There's developers who want to spend some amount of time on their tile. They don't have an infinite budget. We all know that. Sometimes you have a lot of money to spend on something like a tile. Sometimes you only have a little. If you just want to do something quick, easy, very effective, and very flexible, adaptive markup is perfect for that. If you're a really powerful XAML developer and you're thinking to yourself, oh, if I just had XAML, I could do awesome storyboards, I could do awesome animations, we understand that and we were going to enable that as well. XAML tiles are something we're actively working on, and we're going to bring that to the platform at some point. In reality, we're not actually there yet. So we don't have a XAML start screen on mobile. We do on desktop. If you didn't know it, the start menu on desktop is really just a XAML app. Same goes for the notification to Action Center. It's really just a XAML app. But we don't have it on mobile yet, and we're working on it. And so we're actually limited by our own technology in this case. And we're going to make that change so that we can bring something like XAML tiles to developers who really want to spend the time to do it. One other point I want to make that is sometimes overlooked is that push notifications are great, but sending XAML down through a push notification could get really ugly. Like, can you imagine all the XAML you need to create a really awesome tile and having to deal with escaping and worrying about all that as you send it down through a push notification? And I'm not even sure we would support some really big XAML because we only let you have 4K of total size in a payload. Adaptive templates are better for something like push notifications. They give you a lot of flexibility without quite so much text in a notification. And so that's an important thing to take into consideration about why we do both technologies. And then finally, I know I'm going to get this question too. What about interactive tiles? Come on, give me something where I can actually have like a button or some interaction on the tile itself. And it's not something we've got quite yet, but it is something that we actively explored. Matt on my team has been exploring this for this entire release. We're looking at how we can make interactivity on tiles something really, really awesome for developers. And we have a lot of ideas that we're thinking about, ways that you could deep link from your tiles, for example. So I just wanted to throw out there that we haven't forgotten about these features. We know you guys want this stuff, and we are going to work on it and find a way to bring it to you in the near future. So now let's shift gears a little bit. We spent some time talking about tiles. Now let's talk about Toast notifications and Action Center. We'll talk about the UI updates, first of all, that are coming with those two technologies. Just like tiles, Action Center and Toast have some principles that we've tried to abide by. Very similarly, Toast are about glancing information. You consume new information from your app. The real difference between Toasts and tiles is that Toasts are interruptive information. They're still glanceable, they're not a ton of information, but they happen to come to the user when the user may not be looking at the start screen. And additionally, Toasts are much more about actions. They're much more about doing something to either launch the app or to take an action that the app thinks is interesting. I mean, they by their nature, they invite you to kind of create a complete a task because they are interruptive. So let's see a little bit of how that is actually going to work with a new action center in Windows 10 across all of the different SKUs. We have been moving to the same look and feel for the Windows family. You hopefully have noticed that between the mobile builds and the desktop builds, action centers are very, very similar. We're trying to be very thoughtful of where you interact with these things. For example, you notice on the desktop that you can invoke Action Center from the taskbar. You can invoke it from swiping to from the right as well, whereas on mobile, you pull down from the top because we believe it makes sense to have different interaction models depending on the device type that you're using, optimized for keyboard and mouse versus optimized for touch in some cases. Most of the behaviors that exist in the Action Center were inherited directly from Windows Phone. The stuff that's new that I'll talk about in blue, but everything else is a behavior that started in the Windows Phone timeframe. So Toast automatically go into Action Center. You've got an existing Windows app, and you're using Toast notifications. Now, after they've finished displaying on the screen, they go directly into Action Center, and then they live there until the user does something with them. Something new is that Toast can now be expanded to view their full content. And this is great because it actually helps existing developers. If you're a phone developer today and you send a Toast notification with a lot of content inside of it, we only show the first line, essentially. Now you can send that same Toast notification, and on a Windows 10 device, the user will be able to pull down the Toast and see a lot more content. So you don't even have to change your app for that. If you're already doing that and sending a lot of content, then you'll be able to just let the user get that new feature. You can now chase individual notifications. Sorry, you can always chase individual notifications. So you tap a notification in Action Center, and it launches the app for whatever deep link that you had. You can clear all. You're always able to do that on phone. You can remove per app group, which means there's a header for your notifications that shows your app. You can swipe the entire group away. But now you can remove, as a user, individual notifications. So if you've got 5 notifications from my app, and I just want to triage the first 2, I can do that and just swipe them away. And then we also have the ability for alarms and reminders to be viewed inside of Action Center now. So if an alarm notification comes up, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the scenarios we use to do that in a little bit, you can actually hide that notification, and it will show up inside Action Center to take action on later if you want to. Or in some of the stuff I'm going to show you, you can just make it go away right away. As a developer, it's up to you. So let's talk again about the basics of Toast notifications, just like we did about the basics of Tile notifications. Toast templates, the legacy templates, are still there. So there weren't quite as many Toast templates as Tile templates. There were only 8 Toast templates. They were kind of the same thing, though. The first 4 Toast templates were text in different layouts, and the other 4 Toast templates were images in different layouts. So the legacy Toast templates will still work. There is some good news. If you noticed before in Windows Phone, if you used a Toast template that had images in it, we wouldn't show the image. It would work on desktop, but the image would just not be shown on phone. Now if you send that notification to phone, the image will show up on a Windows 10 device. So there is some enhancements there. You'll be able to use Toast with images in the legacy payloads if you want to, and now at least the images will show up if you've got that scenario. But just like adaptive tiles, we're talking about adaptive Toast today as well. But it's not just adaptability of the content in the Toast we're going to talk about. It's also interactivity. So we have adaptive and interactive Toast notifications now. And it's, again, the most flexible Toast template we'd ever had. And there's only one template for Toast. It's called Toast Generic. That's it. And you can do all the things I'm going to show you with just that one template. So for desktop and mobile, I'm going to show you a couple different examples. I want to start with this first one of something like in QQ, you've gotten some new photos posted. And there's I'm showing 2 notifications for desktop and mobile, but they're really the same exact notification. And I want to describe the difference a little bit. On desktop, you'll see that there's no dragger to expand the notification because on desktop, since we've got the room, they all come out pre-expanded like this. Whereas on mobile, the users drag this notification down so that they can see more information because we just don't have that much room on mobile. Here's another example of doing some interaction. This is one we hope takes off. We really think it will. If you've used the flights that we've got for the phone build, you've seen this today, where you can do a quick reply to a message for the SMS messaging app. And we think a lot of apps are going to adopt this. It's one of the most powerful ways to let the user interact with your app without them actually switching from what they're doing. So in this case, you can see we've got a quick reply message. And then another example, this could be something like SAP. If you wanted to have a couple of quick buttons and you wanted to say, oh, someone's asking for vacation. Do you want to accept or decline? I mean, in my case, this would probably be somebody like Andrew asking for vacation, and I would definitely decline it because he just started and he doesn't need any time off. So this is just some really simple examples, but we're going to go on and talk about actually showing you some of these in a little bit and how you can create them on your own. So introducing the stuff you can do with adaptive and interactive toasts. So just like tiles, the content adapts with the toasts. When there's more room, we show more. When there's less room, we show less. Here's an example of being able to show more content. It's a really simple XML example of when I used an inline image. So I've got an image here, I've got a couple of lines of text, and you'll notice just like in tiles, for that image, image placement equals inline is for that larger image of the room. But I've also replaced the app icon that would normally show up in the top left of the toast with my own image. And I did that using image placement equals app logo override towards the top. So we're really trying to let you have as much flexibility with this area as we possibly can. Before, things like that would only be the app icon. Now you can kind of override it and do your own thing. I'll show another example of if you want to do something a little more complex with actions. This is a render of what Cortana is planning to do. They're using our adaptive templates as well. And so they've actually shown an image, they've shown some text, they've shown a map in here. They've even got some selection boxes to let you snooze this. And then they've got snooze and dismiss buttons for what you want to do with this notification. And if you look, we've got some things like activation types as well. I'm going to talk a little more about the activation types in a little bit. And Andrew's actually going to show you that in one of the demos too, and what it means to handle when these buttons are clicked and how you deal with that in your app. Then I got one more quick example. This is the example for how you would do something like a quick reply notification. So you can see really all I've done here is in the action section, I've got an input box. That's as much as it really takes. And then you can retrieve that input whenever your app is launched, and you can do whatever you want to do with it. And we've actually got a real live working example of that for you in a little bit as well. So three quick examples of what you can do with interactive Toast notifications. I wanted to talk about the states of Toast as well, just like I did tiles. So I talked a little bit about it already, but the collapsed state of a toast is really what you see on mobile by default. But whenever you go into Action Center, because we want to show you more stuff, once the toast has moved off the screen and into Action Center, for the most part, they're always collapsed. And the user can expand them if they want. And here's an example of them being collapsed in the phone Action Center. This is the same policy we have in the desktop Action Center, because we want to be able to show you more information about your notifications altogether in there, so we by default collapse them all up. Here's one more example of a collapsed notification before I've pulled down on the gripper to actually show more about the notification. Then I talked about the expanded state. Now, the expanded state in this case is I've gone into Action Center, I've clicked on the notification, the little down arrow, and I've expanded the notification out, and you can see that everything I could do with the notification when it came to my screen in the first place, I can do with it when it's in Action Center. They expand and collapse, but nothing changes about the notification depending on where it's at. It's always going to be able to do all of its actions no matter where it ends up. This is a similar example of a notification that's already pre-expanded on desktop. Like I said, because we have more room on desktop, we automatically pre-expand some things. And then I want to talk a little bit about scenarios that can let you decide to pre-expand a notification as well. So we do have scenarios for alarms now. We think of everything as a notification now. There's not a separate alarms or reminders namespace. It's all a notification, and the scenario is what decides the behavior of that notification. So in this case, there's a whole bunch more XML I would have here, but for the most part, the scenario equals alarm inside of the toast is what actually tells me that I want this to be pre-expanded. Because whenever your alarm's waking you up at, you know, let's say some reasonable time, like 8 o'clock, then you just want to be able to quickly hit snooze, or dismiss, snooze in my case, and not have to actually pull that notification down. Because it's an alarm type of notification, we wanted to give developers a way to say, go ahead and pre-expand this. And something very similar applies for reminders. Again, whenever your reminder to go home comes up from Cortana and you want to beat traffic, you don't want to have to pull it down. We wanted to let you use the scenario reminder to actually pre-expand that notification so that it shows up as big as it should be for the user. We have one really interesting one. We actually have an incoming call scenario as well. And depending on the SKU, I don't have an example for desktop, but this is an example for phone, you can actually have a full screen notification that lets you do something like an incoming call. I mean, in this case, I've got an answer button, a message button, an ignore button. And because calls are so critical to the mobile experience, we've decided to render it full screen. On desktop, we probably wouldn't render it full screen. It might be bigger, but it wouldn't take up your whole screen because it's not the primary function of the device that you're using to take a call necessarily. And you just, again, specify this with a scenario. Toast scenario equals incoming call. And so you can do some really powerful stuff with these scenarios to give your user the best experience with notifications. So the launch types. So all of those things, those buttons that you saw, let you do a different launch type for your application. And the most obvious one is a foreground activation. Just like you've always been able to tap on the toast itself to launch the app, now you can tap on the button to launch the app. So in the foreground activation case, you tap a button, the app launches, You retrieve the arguments that we pass into you, and then you do whatever makes sense to your app. This is kind of the simplest, most straightforward thing that we had from before, only now it works from buttons as well. We have background activation as well. So any of those buttons could actually invoke a background task and actually wake that up to do some work for me. In the case of doing something like a quick reply, once the user enters some text and hits that send button, you're really going to wake up your background task, go communicate with your server, and then have your server send that message over to the next user. So again, you tap the button, the task launches, you retrieve some arguments that we give you the input ID, we give you what was actually in the box, we give you all the stuff that the user touched on the toast, and then you take actions on that as makes sense for your app. There's two more types I want to talk about. There's protocol activation as well. This one's really important to us. We're really, really invested in like having a web of apps on your device, and protocols are a perfect way to do that. Protocols are more than just something like HTTP, and there's everybody's old favorite that's been there forever, Mail2, for example. You can do those. You can also do app-to-app communication this way. I could launch the Bing Maps app. Actually, Andrew's even going to show you that in a little bit. So you tap a button, the protocol activates, the system handles that, and then whatever the activation was supposed to launch actually gets launched. It could be a web page, it could be an app. It's a really great way to do cross-app or up-to-website scenarios. And then finally, we have some system activation types. So for example, I showed you could have a dismiss button that would wake up a background task, and then you would handle that dismiss in your app. Or maybe I hit snooze, and then in your background task, you would reschedule a notification for a little later on. If you don't want to deal with that, if you don't want to have to write the code in your background task to handle rescheduling notifications, you can let the system do it for you. There's a couple of system activation types that really only apply to things like alarms and reminders for things like snooze and dismiss, where you don't write any code. You just say system activation type equals alarm or reminder, and then if the user hits the snooze button, the shell is taking care of making sure that notification pops back up. You don't have to handle that in your background task. And then there's one more thing I want to talk about before we throw it over to the demo. Toast notification history change trigger. This one is a really great feature. So this trigger, just like a lot of triggers in the system, has a certain time when it fires. And for us, this is whenever a notification for your app in Action Center has changed. So if I go into Action Center as a user and I swipe a notification away, we'll launch this trigger, which will wake up your background task, and you can do whatever you want with that background task. A lot of people use this so that they can keep their tile or their badge in sync, and we're going to show you that too. Some people might use it to talk back to their cloud server. As a matter of fact, a good use for this is if I've got the same app across multiple devices and I want to keep all of those devices in sync, we got feedback from developers that they want a way to actually be able to achieve this. And so if you use Toast Notification History Change Trigger, whenever one notification gets dismissed from my mobile device, I could talk to my cloud and tell it to send a delete for that same notification with that same tag and group on another device. And this way, you're in control of getting your notifications in sync if you want to. And so how do you do this? Well, I'm not going to talk about it. It'd be better if Andrew could just show you. So take it away.
Yep, so we're going to start off by creating a Toast notification here. And so here we're just constructing the Toast notification payload. As you can see, you put in your tile and content in the adaptive part of it. And then the cool stuff is the actions down here. So these are buttons. Those could also be text fields and those select lists. And as you can see, you can do those protocol activations. Like this one launches Bing Maps when we click this button. You can launch websites, and you can launch email clients, and also background tasks and other things that Thomas talked about. So we're going to issue that Toast notification here in our UWP. So here's the Toast notification. If I click near me, our Hipster Me app will show me hipsters that are near me by launching Bing Maps and doing a search for hipsters.
They didn't find Matt. Why didn't it find Matt? They found him. He's right here.
Yeah. It's definitely a bug. And then other things you can do, you can launch Wikipedia and find out about hipsters. And then you can also remove notifications, as Thomas talked about. So if we pop a few notifications here, and we'll set a different tag for the second notification, and now we have two notifications in here, and you can programmatically remove a notification. So we're going to remove that top one by specifying the tag, and we programmatically remove that, and it's gone. And you also have that Toast notification change trigger. So if we look at our live tile here, it knows we have one notification in Action Center right now. And if we go and swipe that away, we fire a background task and update our tile to zero notifications. So you can keep everything in sync and provide a really good experience for your users. And the really... Okay, I think that's cool, but quick reply. Quick reply is cool. So with quick reply, we have a website here which finds out like what hipsters say. And I just refreshed it, show you this is actually like live and everything. It's running on localhost, but otherwise it's live. And if we go to our, let's check out the code first. Basically, we're going to issue a quick reply notification, and we're going to run this background task. And in the background task, we take these IDs that we actually provide in our Toast notification, and we pull out the message that the user typed, and we send that to our web server here. And we just do a HTTP post there. And so if we go back to our app, we can send a Toast for a quick reply. And as you see, it comes up here. You can actually reply to those in your Action Center, too. Expand it. And what does a hipster say? Well, PBR. Want to go grab a PBR? And that triggered our background task. And if we go back to the website, we can refresh and see that you actually posted it from a background task. Pretty cool stuff there. And finally, Thomas talked about scenarios for Toast. So this is another Toast payload here. And as you can see, we have scenario alarm. And so when that appears, if we had audio working.
No, yep. Audio's not working, so.
Audio would start looping. And you can have the selection list there. And here you can actually trigger a background task. So our background task would go and trigger that notification to be scheduled 10 minutes later. Back to you, Thomas.
Cool. Thanks, Andrew. That's great. So we're almost to the end. That's most of what we've come to talk about today. So I wanted to recap. Windows.ui.notifications is where you get everything for Toast notifications. What was there from Windows Phone 8.1 is still there today. These are your guys that you go use to do everything you need to. And I didn't talk much about push. I talked a little bit about it, but I just wanted to have it up here. Windows on networking.push notifications, all still there, all still exist. Great way to send Toast and tiles and raw notifications and badges. Still there, works great. And I have one more thing I wanted to announce. In the spirit of, you know, kind of more inclusivity of this conference, I feel like our shell team did a really, really amazing thing. They went and made it possible for Win32 apps to do adaptive and interactive Toasts as well. So this means this means classic Windows apps, this is before Project Centennial, this is right now, can do essentially COM activation to bring their app up whenever an interactive notification comes through. Now, I don't have this time to show you the sample today. It is a little bit complex, but it works really well, and we're going to have a sample up on MSDN so that people can use it. And I just, you know, I love it too. It's friggin' awesome. We actually used it in the keynote demo earlier, so. A little bit of a recap. So you said you wanted Windows apps. We hope we brought you Windows apps. You said you wanted some UI updates. UI refresh and convergence is everywhere now. You see it coming together. Notification Center, well, okay, we gave you Action Center in Windows. We gave you adaptive tiles and toasts instead of a new template catalog. And then finally, more powerful notifications through interactive Toast notifications. So, I really enjoyed having you all here today. I can't wait to see what you do with it. We will be putting the sample up on MSDN Code Gallery or possibly GitHub. We'll be putting the template visualizer up as well. We hope the community can contribute to it to do some awesome stuff for some examples. It's going to be fully open source, the template visualizer, so you guys are going to be able to see whatever you want with it. And just do great stuff. We appreciate you coming. Thanks very much. We've got about 10 minutes for questions, so are the mics on? Go ahead.
So here's a quick one. So any plans on allowing any kind of SVG or XAML-based icons for those assets so that we don't have to have like 15 badge pings and resize them 18 different ways?
Okay, so the question was, can you give me something like SVG or ICO files so that I can...
Or is even XAML.
Even XAML,
path,
right,
so anything.
And the question is not yet, or the answer is not quite yet. But yes, we realize that, you know, something vector that would scale better is also a great addition to the platform. We just don't have it available for you yet. But you know what? If you just keep giving the feedback, eventually we, you know, hopefully we'll do it for you. We'd like to think that's what we're trying to do. So
it's really the only place we can't do it, right? You have everywhere else in the app, we can use XAML paths for everything.
Yep. I totally agree. We're on board.
With live tiles, you have to set the back color in the manifest. Is there any way we can have an update to push new background colors to the live tiles?
The question was, can you push to update the background color? And it's really no. The closest you'd be able to come is set an image in as the background, as a color, and that would roughly give you the same effect. But you can't do it as part of the, it's not really part of the payload today.
All right.
fix it, okay, Matt? Okay, Matt's gonna fix it. Anybody else? Oh, sorry, I'm so bright right there.
So the tiles are great for having a user be able to, you know, watch, monitor something in the background.
Okay, stop there. Oh, no.
When? Can. When are we going to be able to allow them to put one on the desktop so they can watch it continuously?
Okay, so you're saying why aren't my tiles available on desktop and not just start?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic piece of feedback as well. I will absolutely talk to the Shell team about it. I actually think that they did some exploration of it, and I'm not sure what their plans are, but we'll be more than happy to find out. You should email me, tfennel@microsoft.com.
Okay.
Happy to have a conversation about it. Good question. How about tiles in the taskbar, too? Anybody else? No? Awesome. Okay, go ahead. You can just yell. So the question was really about restrictions of launching a background task through a push notification. How often can I do it? Your example was every minute. You could absolutely do it every minute. There is some restriction on the server side of push if you're an incredibly high volume notification provider where you might get throttled. But we can work that out with the server team. If there's some incredibly high volume you need to push for a real scenario and the throttling's too low, we can figure out a way to make that better. But that scenario is great. You want to update your tile, the latest sports scores, and you want to do it every minute, that'll absolutely work. Now, keep in mind that background tasks are limited by the resources available on the device. So if it's a 512 meg phone that's currently in a VoIP call and also playing some music, there's a chance the tile might not get updated. Now, the task might not run until some of the resources come back for the system. But for the most part, in your scenario, there's nothing we're really intentionally restricting in the platform. It would only be resource-based. Good question.
Have the limits on the number of apps that can be registered for background notifications been relaxed?
The answer is yes. The question was, have we removed the limit for the number of things that can be background, like launch background tasks? Yes. Sean Henry will have the exact answer for that, but I'm pretty sure that there's no limit anymore. Another one? Yeah.
What happens to remainders for the apps that are using SilverLight 8.1 apps or SilverLight 8 apps on phone? If they're raising reminders, will they be shown in the action center or will they be in the reminder?
That's a really good question. So the question is, if you're a SilverLight 8 or 8.1 app and you're using the alarm and reminder types instead of a notification, will they go into action center? And not right now, currently they don't. Only things that are actually part of the new notifications will show up in action center because not everything mapped one-to-one and we didn't want to change that experience on top of the user and the developer. So if you switch to something like an actionable notification, then you'll be able to have it in action center on mobile. Otherwise, it won't. On desktop, there are alarm and reminder notifications as well. You might remember some apps actually on desktop implemented a few buttons in Toast before. Those will go into Action Center. They're closer to the right framework and the right actions, so they will go in Action Center. We even update them to look and feel like the new one. So it's really only SilverLight on phone that doesn't change its behavior for alarms and reminders.
Okay, thank you.
Great question. Okay. All right. We'll be around, so if you want to talk more, ask more questions, feel free, come up. We can go walk to the Insider's Lounge, and thanks again.